I love and hate the offering right before I preach because it's like the calm before the storm. It's just like, it's like the nervousness just builds as the gets closer and closer. We're gonna do something a little bit different here this morning than I would normally plan on doing. Number one, I don't have any fancy visuals today, none, which is very rare for me. So I don't know what we're gonna do. Don't get too mad at me about that. My notes, I normally, just to tell you how I normally teach, the way I control my time is by, I know that in my teaching and my preaching, if I can't fit it on a 3x5 card with my tiny handwriting, I can't do it in 30 minutes, impossible. So that's kind of the way I control my time. It's a little thing I learned, somebody taught me. Today I have 3 pages of notes in front of me, so we're gonna be here a while. Hopefully we'll be able to make sure we get everything in. In my junior church class, I've been going through a mini discipleship course, just kind of going through the basics of what being a Christian is. And what we've gotten onto here lately is about what is the church. Okay, so to show you what kind of things we're learning in junior church, you get to act like you're 3 with me, okay? I'm not gonna do this unless you do this with me, so everybody show me your hands. All right, I need to see hands. Okay, don't be too stubborn. This isn't gonna be too bad, I promise. All right, you just put your hands together like this and kind of close them down to a fist. This is what we learned last week, okay? Here's the church, here's the steeple. Open the doors, see all the people. Close the doors, hear them pray, open the doors. They all run away. Now this is something simple, something silly. The whole purpose of doing this, my son, who's 5 and doesn't quite fit in the 3rd, 4th, and 5th grade mentality, but we did it anyway, he came home and thought that was the greatest thing we've ever done in junior church. He loved showing that to his mom. But we did that basically to get the principle across that the church is not just the building, it's not just the place, the church is the body of Christ. It's the people. And if you don't have the people, all you've got left is a building with a steeple. That's it. That's not the church. So what we're going to do today is we're going to talk a little bit about the church. As I was looking over my notes and as I was studying about the church, I saw what I would call a little nugget of truth that I had not really noticed before. I had read over this verse over and over and over again, read it in context, and it just never had clicked with me the way that it did this last time I was studying it. And so we're going to kind of build up to that. We're going to kind of build up to that nugget of truth, and hopefully it'll be something that will encourage your heart in about church. But to do that, I'm going to do what I would normally do in a small, call it a Bible study setting. I'm going to need you to talk to me today. I'm going to need some people that are great Bible scholars, know the Bible, some people that really have studied well, or just the person with the biggest mouth and doesn't mind talking. I don't care who it is. I'm just going to need a few people to answer this question. There is not going to be a wrong answer. I think it's impossible to give a wrong answer to this question. But the question is this, same question I asked my junior church kids. You're in church. This is simple. I need everybody to answer this question by either a nod of head yes or a nod no. Does God want us to attend church? Yes or no? Yes. Okay? We all know that. That's kind of been ingrained into us. And so I want to ask this question. Why do we go to church? Why? Now, there's a lot of answers, a lot of reasons. So let's just get a few of them. I'm not looking necessarily for the number one reason, although I do believe there is a number one reason why we go to church. There's a lot of other reasons why we go to church, what happens when we go to church, the purpose of the church. So let's go ahead and start over here on the far section. And who wants to be the first one that gets to answer? Brother Larson, yes, sir. Say again. Edification, that we need to learn, don't we? We need to learn from God's word. We need to be edified according to the scriptures. We need to be taught. Okay, Acts 2:42. Turn with me, if you would, with Acts 2 and verse 42. That is absolutely true. We do need to have that edification. I love the fact that he used that word. We're going to focus a little bit more on that word here in a little while. Acts chapter number 2. And the purpose I did not put anything on the screen is I tend to move a little too quickly through the scriptures when I do that. Don't give you a chance to open your Bible, so I'm just going to open my Bible along with you. Acts 2 and verse number 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort. That exhortations. In the service, the church service as it were here, you find that exhortation. We come for exhortation. Very good. Let's go with this section. Who's got another idea? Why? You're here. I hope you have a reason. That's right. We give the gospel, don't we? Every 11 o'clock service, the focus of the preaching is on the gospel. We want people to be able to come and hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the Great Commission, and this is something that I find interesting. The Great Commission was not given to an individual Christian. The Great Commission was given to the church to fulfill. And as we, as members of the church, we automatically become part of fulfilling the Great Commission. The Great Commission, if you want to hold your finger or put an offering envelope there in Acts 2, verse 42, you can. We're going to come back there, I'm sure. But let's go ahead and turn to Matthew and chapter number 28, where we find the Great Commission there. Matthew and chapter number 28. We come to church. We want to provide an opportunity for the lost to hear the gospel. Now, that's not only responsible for the preacher who stands behind the pulpit, because I've seen many times preacher gives an invitation and somebody comes forward. Preacher doesn't have the opportunity many times to lead that person to the Lord, to give the gospel directly to them. He needs members of the church body that are willing to come forward and just say, hey, pastor's preached a great message. I'll just come forward and say, anybody want to know more about how to get saved? I'd love to show them. That's part of fulfilling the Great Commission. Verse number 19 of Matthew 28. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's the gospel. Purpose of the church. Very, very good. All right, center section. Why do we come to church? Because we believe in Jesus is exactly right. We trust in Jesus Christ, and we know that who started the church? It wasn't a man. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who built the church, and he is the very foundation of that church. Excellent. We want to come to church because of Jesus. All right, let's go to this section. Any other ideas? And anybody in this section? Yes, ma'am. For worship. Worship is an excellent thing, and I think many times we forget that when we come to church, it's an opportunity to worship our Lord. We forget sometimes when we're singing the songs that we're not just singing just to sing. We forget to spend time in worship. One of the interesting things about worship, and a lot of the other things we've already talked about, is church the only place you can worship? Not at all. This is something that as I was studying worship a little more in detail that I saw that I thought was interesting. Hopefully you will as well. Turn with me to John chapter number 4. This is the story of the woman at the well. John chapter number 4. And your Bible page is a good exercise this morning. John chapter number 4, starting in verse number 20. This woman that was at the well comes to Jesus. And she says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. She's going, where am I supposed to be worshiping? Some say here, some say there. And here's what Jesus says unto her. Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Worship is not something that can only happen here in the church building. Worship is done in the spirit. You can worship at home. So although worship is a great reason to come to church, it's not the best reason, I guess you would call. Because sometimes I've been in a service, and I'd have to look back and say, I've been in a service, I've sung the songs, and I never worshiped. So if I came to church just for worship, after a few weeks of that, I have no reason to come back to church. We should worship at church. Are there any other reasons why we come to church? I believe we're in the far section over here. Yes, sir. Excellent. Hebrews in chapter number 10. Turn with me there. Hebrews chapter number 10. We go to church because we're commanded to go to church. Hebrews in chapter number 10. Personally, this is my number one reason why we go to church. Because I was told to. I'm doing it out of obedience. Hebrews and chapter number 10, verse number 23. Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 23. Well, let's just skip down to go ahead and get the right page of my Bible here. Yep, verse number 25. Thank you. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. There we see that exhortation again. And so much the more as ye see the day approaching. We go to church because God told us to. Many times that works out, especially in my junior church class. I don't know if there's anybody in here that's of the same mindset of the junior church kids. The first answer, or normally either the first or the second answer I get from the kids, why do you go to church? Because mom made me. Because dad made me. You know, that's why I'm here. And I have absolutely no problem with that. I say, I'm glad you have parents that do that. That's excellent. That's not a bad thing. Because when you really get down to it, if a child learns to go to church because mom and dad said so, it's real easy to transfer into, I go to church because God told me to. He's my authority now. And I simply go because of him. There are a lot of other reasons. We talked about exhortation. We talked about we do it out of love. We talked about how we go to worship. Do you realize that if every single one of those things was a missing component in our church service of that day, we still ought to go to church because God told us to? We have anybody in the balcony that has an idea? I'm going to go across the whole balcony. You thought you were going to get out of this because you sat up in the balcony. Not going to happen. All right? Anybody got any ideas? Why do you go to church? Why are you here this morning? What are you here for? What do you expect to get out of church today? Well, come on now. Everybody, every single section, I got something. There we go. Yes, sir. There you go. It's the best place to be, isn't it? Yes, as preacher says all the time, it's a lot better than the hospital bed, that's for sure. Man, you'd love to be here. You know what the reason of why you love to be here? It's because you love Jesus and because it's his house. You love being under the sound of his word. One of the things we do while we teach, go ahead and turn back with me to Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 38. And we'll read through that a little bit and see a few other things that we can get from Acts 2 and verse number 38. Let's go ahead and go down to verse number 42. Acts 2 and verse number 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. We come to church to learn doctrine. We come to church because one of the requirements or one of the things we get at church is that a church teaches good doctrine. But do you realize that if you came to church and have you ever been in church and not learned anything? I've been there. Have you ever worked a late night shift and came to church in the morning and you had one thing on your mind? This is what you were going to accomplish in church? Just stay awake. Just stay awake. Just stay. You ever been there? If we came to church just because we needed to learn something, if that was our only reason, if you're tired and you know you're probably not going to get anything out of the service, you might as well just stay home. But we don't come to church so we can learn. That's great that we do and we should learn. But if that's your main reason, if that's your only reason, then you're going to find really good excuses to stay home. So they continued steadfastly in the doctrine, verse number 42, and fellowship. We come to church for fellowship. We come to church to knit together with the body of Christ. The church is the assembling of the body of Christ. When the body who has been out in the world separated, influencing the world for Christ, comes together in fellowship. That's something that we need to do. But Many times, especially with the kids, I have to remind them, it doesn't matter if you have friends here or not. God told you to be in his house. Sometimes somebody hurts your feelings. It's going to happen. If you're coming to church only because of the friendships or the fellowships you have, then you're coming for the wrong reason. It's great. God wants us to have fellowship here. But if that's the only reason, when that fellowship becomes tainted, or that fellowship, somebody does something wrong, because we all do, that person doesn't shake your hand like you wanted them to, that person isn't as polite to you or as kind to you as you wanted them to, if that's your only reason, you're going to find the real easy excuses to skip church. Number one reason we come to church is, in my opinion, because God told us to. And in breaking of bread and in prayers, we pray when we're at church. But we know that's not the only place we can pray. The Bible commands us in 1 Thessalonians to pray without ceasing. So prayer, although it's something we do in church, it's not the main reason. So as we look through all these different things that the church has and that we do at the church, you know, we've also got the two things that God gave the church, what we call the ordinances, the baptism and the Lord's Supper. We come for those things as well. And we could continue on through the list, and I'm sure probably come up with some other things. But as we go through this, I wanted you to notice that the main reason for church is not what we get out of the service. It's not about me. Turn with me back to Hebrews chapter number 10, and let's look at that with the kids especially. And I've got in my junior church class, I've got a majority of the kids that I teach are what we would call bus kids. They ride the bus. They don't have a mom and a dad present on the church property when they're at church. And it amazes me, as I was teaching through this, I was just curious, and I was asking the kids how many of them, honestly, if they wanted to stay home, they could look at mom and dad and say, I'm staying home, and their mom couldn't care less. Their mom said, yeah, if you want to go to church, you can. If you don't want to go to church, you don't have to. I'm not going to make you. And I would say over half of the kids in my junior church class can stay out of church if they wanted to, because mom and dad don't make them. And I sit back and I look at that and I go, these kids really need to know why they're going to church. Because if that friendship or that fellowship is gone, or they go to another class and it's not as much fun as it used to be, it's real easy to step out of church then, because they need to know the main reason. And so we spent quite a bit of time in Hebrews chapter number 10 and looking at that phrase, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Now, I want to show you a tidbit of information there, I guess you'd say, when it comes to the word forsaking. Forsaking, the best definition that I have heard, and that made sense to me, was that to forsake is to turn your back on, to choose something other than what you're looking at. We are commanded to forsake sin. That means that we turn from our sin and turn to Christ. We completely turn away. Forsaking is not hiding a little bit under your arm and taking it with you. Forsaking is completely turning your back on. So the scripture says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Let's just picture that this area, this direction, walking this way, would be attending church, going to church this Sunday. To forsake church would be for me to turn my back on church for whatever is over here. My pillow, because I'm tired. And it looks so fluffy. If I sit there and I go, I'm not going to go to church today because I'm too tired, then I am turning my back on church. I'm forsaking the assembling of the body of Christ. I'm turning my back. I have an opportunity to go to a ball game, and it happens to be on Sunday, and I have to make that choice. For me, I would be going, I'm choosing the ball game. I'd be turning my back on Christ. That's forsaking. Now, does that mean that the people that are not here this morning, all of them are forsaking church? Not at all. Because there's times that something comes in between you and going to church, like a disease or an illness. You would be there if you could, but something's in your way. A wall has been placed. Does that make sense? There's people that are not here this morning that would be here if it was not for this wall in front of them. They're in a hospital bed. They can't be here. They're not forsaking the assembling of themselves together. They can't make it. Now, sometimes what we want to say is we want to say, I'm not going to church and there's something in my way. In our heart of hearts, we know it's not in our way. We could get over it if we wanted to, but we decide to turn our back. We forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That's not something that happens once. That's something that we can do every single time the assembling of the church is brought together. Just an interesting tidbit, and how can I explain to you whether something is in the way or if it's behind you and you're turning and forsaking church for it? A classic example on that is a job. How do you know if your job is in the way and stopping you from going to church or if you're choosing your job over Christ? How do you know that? That's in your heart. That's not a decision I can make for you. That's definitely not something I can look at you and say, I can give you my opinion on it. But you have to make the decision. You have to talk with the Lord and make the decision of, am I really choosing my job over Christ? Or am I stuck? Is there a wall there? Can I not hurdle it? For me, I've worked in the ministry most of my life, so I've never had that problem, except when I was a teenager, I worked at Subway. And I know for me, my job was not in the way, because if I wanted Sundays off, when I got the job, I looked at my employer and I said, I don't work on Sundays ever. And he was okay with that. He understood that. And this is the advice my father gave me when I was looking for a job, because I got turned down for 2-3 jobs because of that. My dad gave me the advice, and he said, and I believe it's true, he said, any employer that is worth anything can ask for Sundays off and get it. Because the employer will look at how good of an employee you are and will bend over backwards to try and help you out. I believe that to be true. Sadly, not every employer is a good employer, though, so it doesn't always reign true, I'm sure. All right, so we're looking at not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We're looking at the reason to go to church. And what thought hit my mind as I was studying through this was, I understand that my generation, my age group, we are, I guess what you could call a me generation. We have swallowed the philosophy of it's all about me. We've swallowed the pill, and everything we do, and especially my age group, is about what I can get out of this. You look in history and you see through history books, you see men that founded America and they were not selfish about it. They weren't doing what they did to see what they could get out of it. They were doing it for others. They were building the foundation of a country so that their children and their grandchildren would reap the benefits. My age group, we've been spoiled. We're Americans. We've had so much that we enter into things thinking, what, it's not how can I help the government grow and how can I make sure that the nation is what it should be. It's all, what can I get out of this? It's all a welfare mentality, if you want to call it that. We want more. We want what everyone else has. We look at somebody that has this. They're no better than I am. So I should get the same benefits. I should get the same things that they have. Doesn't matter how much work they've done. Doesn't matter what their history has. They have the benefits of ABC. I deserve the benefits of ABC because I'm an American after all. We see that, and this is a very sore subject, and I'm not going to talk about it in great detail. We see that in healthcare. And this is something that I have argued with my age group over and over again with. Just because the doctor has the ability to fix this problem does not mean you deserve him to fix your problem. He doesn't owe you anything. Not a bit. Now, I can't stand our healthcare system. I can't stand any of it. It drives me nuts, especially when I have to take somebody in my family to the doctor's office, and it's so stinking expensive. Why it's expensive? Because of that philosophy, hey, I'm sick, you have to fix me. You owe me that. The doctor doesn't owe you anything. Many times the doctors give and give until they can't give anymore, and so it costs the prices to go up, and now here we are with the exorbitant amount of money it costs to get anything done because there's people running around saying, you owe me. I have to have health care. It's a right. Not in here, it's not. Health care is not a right. It's a blessing. But anyway, I'm not going to get off on that. That's not my topic. But that's the mentality of my age group. It's all about me. What can I get out of this? If you're getting something and I'm not, I deserve what you're getting. And sometimes I fear that we come into church with that same mentality. What can the church do for me? What am I going to get out of church today? And the reason people can't stay in church, the reason faithfulness is gone, is because we're not getting our needs met any longer. I'm not getting what I wanted out of church today. The preacher didn't preach what I wanted to hear today. Church isn't about you. We go to church, number one, because God told us to. And then number two, the reason we go to church, we find right in Hebrews chapter number 10. When I started looking back and looking at the context of Hebrews chapter number 10, I said, now this is amazing. The very verse we look to that commands us to not forsake the assembling, the very verse that God tells us that you are to be in my house when the assembly is put together. Listen to what it says, Hebrews 10 verse 23. Listen to the context. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. When you look at verse number 24, what's the context? I'm looking at others. And because I'm looking at others, when the body comes together, when I'm focused on the other members of the body of Christ, when the body comes together, I shouldn't forsake that because I have a responsibility. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as ye see the day approaching. In context, it's about others. When we come into church, our focus should not be on me and what I'm going to get out of the service today. Our focus should be number one on Him. In Revelation, we find that it's called the Lord's Day. Can you imagine planning the biggest birthday party you've ever had? Hundreds of people are going to come to this birthday party. You invite people that don't even know who the birthday boy is, and they come to this party because it's a huge party, and they go, man, you must really love this guy. Who's the birthday boy? Oh, we didn't invite him. How ridiculous would that be? That's like having church without focusing on the Lord. It's the Lord's Day, but we don't even think about him while we're here. Shame on us for that. Number one, the Lord's Day is His day. He's the primary focus. We come because He told us to. That's the end of the line. If we get nothing out of the service today, we came because the Lord told us to. And if He's glorified because we obeyed, enough said. The second focus should be on the other members of the body. We don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together because that's when I have the opportunity to exhort the other members of the body, to encourage. Notice it does not say to correct. It doesn't say to come out and come to the church service so you can correct everybody and all the things they've done wrong all week long. Although exhortation, sometimes we need correction in love. We come focused on Him and on others. And then the third blessing that comes when we attend church is that we get to learn about God. We get to spend time in worship. All these other things we've talked about are just the icing on the cake, as it were. That's what we get out of church. But if none of that happens, our focus should be on Him and on others. Is our mentality that me mentality? I come to church to see what I can get out of it. I come to church because I want a blessing from the song. And isn't it great that you can get one? But is that your focus? I find myself, it's real easy for me to just come to church and stay in my own bubble. Does that make sense? All I'm concerned about, all I'm thinking about is me and what's happening in my life right now. And I just spend the entire church service in my little bubble, not even realizing that there's another member of the body sitting on my pew that's hurting as well. There's somebody in this auditorium that's going through a more difficult time than I am. And they just need somebody to love on them a little while. But I'm so concerned about what my life is, what the pinky has to deal with, that I'm not focused on any other members of the body. You know, we find, and I don't have the scripture written down, but you find the truth in scripture that one member of the body starts to hurt, the rest of the body helps that member of the body. You have a broken arm, the rest of the body's gonna help out. When we come to church, it's the assembling of the body. We don't forsake the assembling because we have the job of exhorting one another. What I sat there and I looked at as I looked through these notes is I had to honestly look at myself and say, why am I coming to church? Why am I here? Am I coming for me, or am I coming for him, and am I coming for others? There are times, yes, there are times that you're hurting and you're the one that needs help, and you're the one that needs somebody to come to you. Do we only take out of the church and never put in? Are we always wanting something from others and never willing to give anything? I'm going to have Pastor Stephen go in and come, and he's going to give the Sunday school report and let us know, or Dr. Carter, or whoever wants to, I'll let you. I'm done. We'll just finish off with that. Thank you so much for being here this morning. I do appreciate